Last week we spoke about personal bankruptcy, and the issue was, of course, we said that if someone doesn't have money, he's punished from paying the loan. He doesn't have the money, he can't pay, and what's called not having the money, those are what we discussed in previous weeks, that we do sidur, 30 days worth of food, 12 months worth of clothing, and house, we said maybe you could rent, doesn't have to give that up. And if he doesn't have that much, doesn't have the money, we can't force him to work. But if he doesn't want to or can't get a job, so at that point in time, he has no money, so he can't pay his loan. There's nothing to talk about there. The question is, suppose that he paid a certain percentage of what he had. Every creditor got 30 cents on the dollar, 70 cents on the dollar. So what happens then? When 10 years later he gets his fortune back, is he responsible to pay? So we spoke whether that's considered mechila. Do we say when each of the creditors took the 70 cents on the dollar, 30 cents on the dollar, they were mechila? And we said they weren't, because that's not called mechila, that's called peshara. Peshara is, the way the Achronim put it, is whenever you're, this is what, based on the Maran, whenever you're afraid you're going to lose all your money, and because of that you made a compromise to get something, that's a pshara, that's a compromise. And for a compromise to be binding, there has to be a kinyan. If there was no kinyan made, we don't say it's like the mechila where you just mofel and it's finished. That requires a kinyan. If there was no kinyan made, we assume that the creditors were just happy to get what they could in the meantime, and as soon as his fortunes turn better, they'll have to pay the rest of it. We said din of the mechusa din would probably not apply here. Din of mechusa din applies in the where the machus cares. The order of how you give out the money, no one should go and try to sneak in and get the money before the other creditors get it. That din of mechusa din, Rav Moshe said. But to say that at that point, from that point on, the lova is pater from paying the rest, it doesn't seem din of the mechusa din would go so far. And the last thing we suggested, there might be a possibility if there was a minhag. There was a minigam makam that people realized when they lent someone money, he could go bankrupt and not get his money back. The problem there was, I guessed around, and not too many people have ever had that happen to them, lent money to a person who went bankrupt. It doesn't seem like it's a usual thing that happens to say that there's a minig that you're used to such a thing happening. So that was personal bankruptcy. Tonight we'll talk about, you are running a corporation, you're running a shul, you're running a business which is incorporated, and you borrow money and you have no money left to pay. Right, the way Rosh Biz puts the Shai Ruvain was owner of a business Be'erovin Mugbol. Be'erovin Mugbol means a Erovin is security, Mugbol means limited. Whenever you go in Eretz Yisrael, you see Be'ez, Ayin, Mem, that's Be'erovin Mugbol. That means in English it's incorporated. In British, they call it limited, LTD. In America, they call it incorporated. But the real thing, what it is it means that the Eruvin, the security is limited. You can't attack me, you can only attack the corporation. I'm lending this to you with a limited responsibility, and that responsibility is limited to the property of the corporation. So Reuven was running such a business. Konas Chor L'Sercha Esek, he purchased merchandise. And he set up a time to payment at a certain date. And at the date of the payment, his bar lo mocher, the seller realized he's not going to get any money back. So purchased Reuven have to pay from his own private funds. But that's the Shiloh tonight. So the first thing we have to talk about is, in halacha, is there such a thing? Is there any way I can make myself responsible to pay to have a corporation? Is there anything in halacha like that? And the second thing we'll say, once we see that there is, how much you, how it works, how the responsibility works, you'll see clearly as we go. Rosh Biz entertains the possibility that there should be no such thing as a corporation at all in halacha. Why is that? He brings the Gemara Kedushin. Amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman, all the Gemara's and Dini Kedushin are famous. Rava said in the name of Rav Nachman, Amar la his kachli b'mana. A man told a woman, marry me with this, with $100. He didn't give her the $100. Marry me with $100. and he didn't have the money, he said, look, I don't have the money here, take my watch, and this will be a mashkan, this is collateral, that I'll give you the $100 when you give me back the collateral back, when you give me back that mashkan. It's not a good kedushin. Why? Mana ain't kind, mashkan ain't kind. If the money's not here, the mashkan has no meaning at all. There's a mashkan is if I lent you money and you owe me money, you already owe me money, and then you give me a mashkan, so that mashkan is meaningful. But over here, I just said I'm going to give you $100, but I never gave it to you. I said, marry me with this with $100, I'll give you, and here's a mashkan. So if you don't have a real chov, if you don't have a real debt, there can't be a security. There's no such thing as a mashkan on that. Now, there are two ways to learn that Gemara. I have on the other side. There's a pashut way to learn the Gemara. The Rush brings this, and the Yeshiva B'Farshim seems the Ramban holds that way. The simple way to understand the Gemara is like this. How do you marry a woman? One of the ways to marry a woman is with kesef. Like you can buy property, you can buy real estate with kesef, with giving over money, something worth a shavah pruta. So we learn from today Ephron that you also affect kedushin by giving a woman a shavah pruta. That's the way you make kedushin. So over here, that's what he wanted to do. I'm going to give you $100. I want to be married with that $100. But he didn't give her the $100. He just gave her a collateral that he was going to give her the $100. So how should he get married? Well, he gave her a collateral, but the collateral isn't something she could keep. That's only until she gets the $100. So she didn't get the $100 yet, and the collateral isn't worth any. It's not hers. She's going to have to give it back. So there's nothing here to make a Kenyan Kesef with. That would be the simple way of understanding it. But this Yeshua Farshim say, in a case where you don't need a Kenyan Kesef, like suppose I tell you, I'm going to give you a present of $100, and this mashkan will secure it. Hold on to this watch until I give you that $100. So in that case, when you hold on to that mashkan, so that gives me an obligation to give you the $100. If I had a kedushin, it doesn't work because I have an obligation to give you the $100, but I didn't give it to it yet. You don't have the $100. The mashkan isn't yours, so you can't make a kedushin. There wasn't a transfer of kesef yet. But to say that in a case where you don't have to have a Kenyan kesef, where I'm just saying I'm going to obligate myself to give you this $100 and here's a mashkan for it, so that would work according to these Rishita. That's the way those were shown. The Tosfos and the Rush, I think that's halacha, they say there's another problem over here. Besides the Kenyan kesef problem, they say even in the case of the matana, it won't work. The way Rosh Spitz puts it, he puts it like this, that when I owe someone money, there's two things going on there. In Lamdas it's called Shibud HaGuf, and there's a Shibud Nechasim. My body is Meshubah to you, there's a lien on my body, and because I owe you money, my property is the security to pay that, and you have a lien on my property as a result of your lien on myself. So Tosfos and the Rosh say if there's no prior hiskayv, there's no prior obligation, there's no prior debt that I have on myself, there's no way that my property becomes meshubah to you. There's no way my property that you have any hold on my property. So Tosfos and the Rosh say even by a matana, if I say I'm going to give you a big present, I'm giving you $100, and take this watch as a security and don't give it back to me until I give you the $100. So they hold that there's no kinyan at that point either. I'm not even chayiv to give you the $100 because the mashkan doesn't give any. My property can't have, and there can't be any lien on my property when I'm not chayiv to pay you anything. Of course, I can make a shtar and say I am chayiv to pay you money, so that works. Then now I'm chayiv to pay you money, then my property will become meshubah also. But in a case where I say, look, I'm going to give you a present for $100 and here take this as a security, according to Tosfos and the Rosh, that doesn't apply because when there's no shibud, when there's no lien on the person, there's no lien on his property. So Rosh Spitz wants to say that could be totally in whether a corporation should work. Because when you have a corporation, we're saying is that Reuven owns a business, right? His case, Reuven owns a business, but he doesn't have any personal responsibility on it. So you don't have any, now I haven't done the corporation, except I say it's incorporated. So if you hold, like, the first sheet of those Rishonim who hold that it's only if one unique Kinyan cast if it doesn't work, so over here it's no problem. You know, even though you don't have a personal lien on me, but my property you do have a lien on, and whatever property I gave over, that's going to be something that you could collect from. But according to Tosus and the Rosh, it would seem that if you don't have any lien on me, you can't, I'm untouchable, so then how do you have any lien on my property? Property is only, a lien on a property is only a result of a personal lien. If you don't have any shibud on me, you can't touch me, then you shouldn't have any lien on any of my property, and there should be no such thing as the concept of a corporation in halacha. That's the way he at first wants to say. However, he says it's not true, because there's no such thing as a person not being responsible at all. For example, if we find out that the person was crooked, and there wasn't really any corporation there, or he mismanaged the corporation. He says he took the money for himself, he gave it to his relatives, he swindled the corporation. So who are you going to go to? You go back to the manager. You don't say, you can't say, well, it wasn't me, it was a corporation. But you were dealing with that person as a person. He's just saying, I'm not going to, I am responsible, I'm not going to do anything crooked, and if I do, I am responsible. You are dealing with a person, but the liability, the lien should only be on a certain amount of my property, on this part that I'm calling my business, my incorporation, my Robin Mulbol, but not on my house and my car and my other possessions. I'm saying I'm responsible, but your lien is only a certain amount of property. So he wants to say that even according to Tosfos and the Rosh, there would be such a thing as a responsibility of a corporation. That's the way he starts.
It sounds like the din of apotropis.
It sounds like the din of apotiki. And that's what he says. That's what the next we're going to discuss, the din of apotiki. Right? He says this is like the din of an apotiki. Apotiki, we'll see the Gemara. Let's read the Gemara. Gemara Gittin, Mem Aleph, Amid Aleph, Gitmar. Pa'osa sadeo apotiki la'cherim. If someone makes his field an apotiki for someone else, what's an apotiki? Apotiki, Rashi always says, is the Rashi Tevas of apo tehei koi. Here is where you stand. This is the property that you can collect from. In other words, normally when I lend my money to someone, when I borrow money from someone, so that person has a lien over all of my property. But over here I designate, I say, this is where you can collect from. I'm borrowing from you, and this field is the apotiki. It's some Greek word that means that also, I don't know if they use it nowadays, but there's this is the field that's an apotiki. It's hypotech in Greek.
Hypotiki.
Okay. So it's a mortgage on a specific piece of land, a piece of property. So the Gemara says like this: if someone makes his field this special designated property to be collected, ushtafa nahar, and a river flooded it, so now it's not worth anything anymore. So Ami Shapir Noah, Amar Rav Yochanan. Ami Shapir Noah means he looks very nice, he's handsome. Said in the name of Yochanan, in Nida he's called Ami Vardi Noah. Vardi Noah is Vered Noah. He's a beautiful rose. Rashi says over there that sometimes he's called Vardi Noah, sometimes he's called Shapir Noah. So Ami Shapir Noah said in the name of Yochanan, Eina Gavim Mishayin Chosin. You don't collect from any other property because this was the designated field to collect from. It got ruined. Too bad to the creditor. Bavur to Shmuel Amar, but Shmuel's father said, Gove Mishayin Chosin. You can't collect from other property. Amar Av Nachman by Yisro. Nachman Yisro said, Mishum to Ami Shapir Noah, because Ami so handsome. Amar Shmaitin La Shapir. Does that give him a right to say a halacha that's not pleasing, that's not good? Just because you designated one field doesn't mean that you should lose all right to collect from anything else. So therefore, Targum Shmaite, you should interpret that what he said, it's not only that he said this field is designated to you. He also said you can't collect from any other field other than this one. This is the sole property that you have a lien on. These are two types of apotikis. One's an apotiki stam, where you just say, this is the field I'm designated, you should know. I'm borrowing money from you, but this house is, I guess would be almost like a mortgage. This house, if you take a mortgage, this house is where you could collect from. And the other is to say, this is the only property I'm taking the loan, and I want to limit the lien onto this certain property. That's called a potiki mefurash. That's a limited potiki that applies only to that, where the lien applies only to that specific property, not to any other property at all. Okay, those are the two types of potiki. The Shulchan Aruch paskens this in Chosh Mishpat Kuf Yod Zayin Amud Aleph. If someone makes his field an apotiki for his creditor, Ola Isha, or the Ksuvasa, or for his wife's Ksuva, when he says, this is where you collect from, and the river flooded it, he could collect from the other property because he didn't specify it. But if he stipulated, your collection is limited just to this property, so then even though it got ruined, you can't collect from any other property. So this already almost sounds like a limited corporation. This is what we're talking about. Now before we see how it applies to corporations, there's a machlokas achronim here, how far this goes. The Shar HaMishpat had a case. Shai Mishpat won the Simon. Said there was someone who was running some business. He was getting paid to run this as a middleman. He was getting a certain amount. And this person was in charge of that business. And then he left for some reason. The person in charge who was getting paid to run the business left. And the people holding on to the debts wanted to collect from him from his personal debt, because he had his personal property. He had left the business and they wanted to collect from him. And the question, and they even grabbed seized some of his property. The question is whether it works or not. This is similar to a corporation. The person's running the business and he left the business. Can they collect from his property? The Shari Mishpat wants to say, now, doesn't seem there's any apotiki there. No, there was no deal made. Doesn't seem like there's an apotiki there. The Shari Mishpat wants to bring a raya that even there we should have the din of apotiki, where the person running the business shouldn't be responsible for what happens, from another Gemara Gittin. The Mishnah Gittin Daf Lamed Amid Aleph has a case like this. Hamal the Mos. Gemara is really talking about a different issue. The Mishnah is talking about a different issue, but we'll see how it's Nogeya us. Someone lent money as a kohen with a levi as a ani. He lent money either to a kohen, to a levi, or to a poor person. Lios mafvish alein meichelch. And let's take the case of the poor person. We know a poor person is entitled to get tzedakah. He could get meiser ani. There's different entitlements a poor person could get. So the rich person gave the poor person $1,000. And he said, look, I'm a farmer, and I would have to give you 10% of my property this year, since you're an Ani, I have to give to an Ani. So I'll lend you the $1,000 and pay me back. Instead of me giving you the money, this produce, and you give it back to me, let me just keep it. That'll be my payment. Now, the problem is, the Mishnah's problem is, maybe they die. Maybe the Ani's not there anymore, or maybe not the Ani died, maybe the Ani got rich, maybe the Kohen and Levi died, the same deal where he's keeping the Truma and the Meiser. Because what we're looking at it is, we're saving effort. Right? Really, I have to take off Meiser. So I'm taking off the Meiser, I'm giving it to you, and you're giving it back to me. And so what's really boiling down is, I'm just keeping it, because why should we waste our time going back and forth? I'll just hold it. But it only works if they're still alive. If they're not alive, I didn't give it to them and they didn't give it back to me. I have to give it to another coin, I have to give it to another levy, or I'd have to give it to another person who was qualified as an Ani if he got richer. So the Mishnah says, you can assume, you could take off the Truma Meiser, assuming the Kohen and Levi is alive. You don't have to be worried that the Kohen or Levi died, or that the poor person became wealthy. You can assume that the status quo remains. You can assume that we still have this status quo. That's what the Mishnah says. the Braisa says, the Gemara brings a Braisa on Amud Beis, Heshir Ha'ani, what happens if the poor person did get rich? So now, can the creditor go to them and say, look, it didn't work, I can't keep my Meiser Ani, I'm going to have to give it to someone else. I'm going to lose that $1,000 worth of property that I thought I was going to keep because you got rich in the meantime. So I want you to pay me the $1,000. So Gemara says, Hesher Ani, if the Ani became, the Braisa says, if the Ani became richer, Ein Mafrish Allah, you can no longer take the Meiser Ani off for him and keep it to pay back your loan. V'zocha Halav Amasha B'yodo. And not only that, you can't collect from other property from him. That person acquires what's in his hand already. He doesn't have to pay the debt because he only agreed to pay the debt from Meiser Ani that he was going to be getting. Right? He had limited his responsibility to the Meiser Ani that he was going to receive. If for some reason he doesn't receive it, that's the same as if the field that he had set aside became flooded and he's no longer responsible to pay the debt. He had limited his liability to the Meiser Ani. So the Sharei Mishpat wants to say from there that the same thing should be with this person running the business. He's running the business. It was understood that it wasn't his personal finances, it wasn't his personal property that was involved. He was working for this company, for this business. And only the business was involved. If he leaves the company, goes, whether it was his fault or not his fault, but if he leaves, for whatever reason he leaves, the creditors don't have any right to collect anything from him. Right, that's what he says. He didn't say the words lo yehei firon ela mizu. He didn't say that formula of making it an apotiki mefurosh. He didn't say, and this, you can only collect from here, just so they were just doing business together. So Shai Mishpat says, but you see from here also, the ani over here, in this case, the poor person didn't say, I'm borrowing $1,000 and you only get payment from here. He just said, you made the deal. So he puts it like this. What's called an apotiki mefurosh? What's called apotiki stam is like this, according to the Sharei Mishpat. Apotiki stam, where you can't collect from the other property. What's a general apotiki? That's where I say, look, I borrowed the money from you, and I'm going to pay you back the $1,000, and if I don't have the $1,000, take this field, take this house. It's like a backup for the malva, for the creditor. It's to the advantage of the creditor. You really have a shibud over all my property. If I don't have it, his lashon is, if I don't pay you, gavei mizu, collect from this property. That's where we say, if it gets flooded, you collect from other property, because that was to the advantage of the Baal Chov. The creditor had this advantage that there was something set aside for him to collect if there was no other property around him. So then, of course, if there's other property around and this one's not available, he collects from the other property. But where it's anything other than that, where he said, this is what you're collecting from, and that's a mashmos of this is the sole property that you can collect from, even though you didn't say those words, that's already called an apotiki mefurosh, that's called a limited apotiki, and in that case, if that property gets destroyed, you can't collect from anything else. So that's the way that the Sharei Mishpat paskens. The Erech Shai disagrees with the Sharei Mishpat. He brings a case from the Divrei Gaonim. And Divrei Gaonim brought this from another tshuva, Parach Mata Aaron, another tshuva. Over there, I have the case in the handout. Someone sold an object to his friend, to another person, and the tnai was that when am I going to pay you for it? I bought a car from you, and when will I pay you for it? I'm expecting money from the governor. I did some work for him. When I get that money, I'll pay you. And some reason that government money came in late, and he didn't have the money to pay. So the Divrei Gaonim brings down that he has to pay from his own money. The seller has a right to collect other money, because it's like an apotiki, a regular apotiki, a general apotiki. I said, look, this is the money I'm planning on getting, but if that money doesn't fall through for some reason, you have the right to collect from other money. So the Eruch Shai says, you see from here that this Divrei Gaonim disagrees with the Shara Mishpat, because according to the Shara Mishpat, as long if I didn't say the words, according to the Shara Mishpat, the burden of proof is to make it into an apotiki stam. It only becomes a stam apotiki if I say collect from anywhere. If you don't have anything else to collect from, take the house. That's anything other than that becomes an apotiki mefurish. The Divrei Gaonim is saying the opposite. There, he's saying that it's not called apotiki mefurish unless you say this is the only place you can collect from. The Eruch Shai brings a raya to this pshat, because when the Gemara is the kasha on the Ami Shapir No, and this handsome Ami, he said, Ami, how can you say that if the river destroys the field, you can't collect from any other property? So the only way it makes sense is if he said, Lo yeh blechopiron el mizu, that's the only case where you'll be limited from your liability. If you said these words, don't accept payment from anything other than this. But if you just assume that, well, it's under my business, and you know, you should know that this was from the business part of my money, not from anything else, so that's not called on posting in beforeish, and you have a right to collect from the creditor himself. That's the way the Eruch Shai paskins. Now, what do you do with the case with the Levi and the Kohen and the Oni, where there the Gemara seems, the Shara Mishpat seems to have a good raya, that over there, he didn't say, the Oni didn't say the words, you're only going to collect from my Maiser Oni, and the halacha was that he doesn't have to pay if for some reason his Maiser Oni goes bad. So that, you can answer, the Shara Mishpat himself says it could be different over there, because when you give money to an Oni, the assumption is he's an Oni, he's poor now. And there you don't have to say the words, and your only payment is from the Maiser Oni, because that's his status right now. He's poor, and he's entitled to get Maiser Oni. The assumption is that that's where his payment's going to come from. But over here, where someone's running a business, you don't see from this person running the business that the responsibility will only be on this property, but not on his other property. To do that, you have to say, Befeirush, my responsibility, my liability is limited to this property and not to anything else. Right, that's the way the Eruch Shai will look at it. The Shara Mishpat says, no, as long as you didn't say, all my property is liable to pay the debt, and this is your apotiki in case there's nothing else available. If you don't say that, it has a din of apotiki mefurash, and your liability is limited to that specific property. So that's the machlokas, the Shara Mishpat and the Eruch Shai. So Dayan Weiss, the Minchas Yitzchak, says that even though you had this machlokas in these cases in the times of those earlier poskim where they were running businesses for different people, but he says in today's corporations, everyone should agree that that has a din of an apotiki mefurash. That has a din of an explicit apotiki. Because, first of all, maybe not in America, but when it's called limited, when it's called be'erovin mugbol, when it's called limited responsibility, so those are the words. I'm limiting my liability to this property. It says it right there. He goes even further. That we'll have to speak about that, since the shareholders, they don't have any rights to take any of the property. The shareholders don't have the right to say, okay, you know, the shareholders are last all the time. The shareholders don't have any right to take property, so therefore they don't have any responsibility if anything goes bad. They don't have any personal responsibility. And he's talking, it's also Nogeya by Chametz on Pesach, and we see it's Nogeya Ribis also. So that's what he says. He wants to say that nowadays, in our corporations, this is the framework that we deal with, that a corporation has a din of an explicit apotiki, that I'm limiting my liability to just this property of the corporation. So if I, even though I'm the sole owner of the corporation, but you know, as long as it says incorporated, when you know you're dealing with something that says incorporated on it, and this, the Pesach Choshen says, this certainly is a minig. You know, when you're dealing with something that says in corporation, what does it say that for? Because that's exactly what he's doing for. He doesn't want to have liability. That's why he made that corporation, to limit his liability. So in that case, if something goes wrong with the business, you don't have any right to take his personal property. Now, would that work with, so if I have a corporation that, that sells oxen, and I'm planning on paying back with renting out the oxen to plow, and they all die, so then I don't have to pay back the debt, because for my personal property, the oxen were the property, and they all die. If the ox goes and damages someone, so I don't know if that'll make a difference now, because I'm responsible to watch the ox. The corporation's not responsible. I'm responsible to watch the ox, so it sounds like I would still be responsible to pay. But we're talking about...
What's the Midor Raisa?
Huh?
What's the Midor Raisa that you're responsible for your ox?
You're also responsible to pay a loan, Midor Raisa, but I'm saying that's the difference between the loan and the hezek. When it's a loan, when I lend you the money, I know that I'm lending to a corporation, and this thing, and you just about told me that my payment will be only from the ox, and if they all die, I'm not going to collect from you your own personal property. But I don't think that that should make a difference, that if your ox that you're in control of went and damaged someone, then you won't be hired for that.
Mine goes damaged, we didn't get covered.
Right, that's what I'm saying. We're limiting our definition of a corporation. Whereas we're saying a corporation only has a validity in this, where we made a deal. Yeah. I lent the money to you knowing that I was limiting that you were limiting your liability just to this property, not to any other property. But I don't see how that will apply to your responsibility to watch it. Now, that's where we'll have to talk. We'll have about chametz. Right? If your corporation owns chametz, can we say you don't own the chametz, it's a corporation owns the chametz, so they might be dependent, and if there's one person in charge of a lot of shareholders, but that's where it's not so simple, that it's not so simple to say that, well, it's a corporation and they're not chayiv to get rid of the chametz on Pesach.
That's a key point, because if you have a corporation, say the building blows up, and a lot of people get killed, well, from a loan viewpoint, you're limited to what you own what you own the property there. But if you say that the corporation is now obligated for all the damages, whether it's an ox or people get killed, then you have unlimited liability.
Yeah, I suppose you have a store that's incorporated, and someone slips in the store. You don't deal with oxen, right? So will we say, well, it's not I don't own it.
So you take away every penny you have.
I don't know what to see. That's why I wanted to get to the end. Once we see where we're defining the corporation in regards to loans, we can see it's not so simple. We're not saying, oh, the corporation is a different thing and it's potter from anything. We're not making some fictitious legal fiction over here. We're saying that the person, that in when it comes to paying a loan, we're saying a person who lends money has the right to say, I'm limiting my liability to a certain amount of property, and if that property goes bad, I think that's the Gemara's case. The rain, the flood, it floods it out, so I don't have to pay. Even though I borrowed the money and it was for my good, right? The Gemara's not talking about a corporation. I borrowed the money for my good. I needed to buy food and buy clothes and pay for tuitions. I need the money for my good. I asked you to lend me money. You were nice enough to say that you're limiting your, whatever reason you agreed to do that, you're limiting the collection to that field. You wanted that field. Okay, I'll give you that field. But that's the only collection you have. That's the only rights of collection you have. And if that goes bad, I don't have to pay anymore. By the corporation, it's even better than Minchas Yisrael saying. The Dayan was saying by corporation, it's even better because the whole money is going into the businesses. I don't get any personal gain from it at all. I don't have any right to take any of the property myself as a shareholder. And therefore, I just get a salary. So therefore, I certainly don't have any responsibility if it goes bad. That's the way he poskens. Now, just we mentioned in the beginning, just briefly, this is all talking where everything is going straight. The Ramah poskens in the same halacha over there. Also, sadeh apotiki mefurosh. If he made his field an explicit apotiki, sha'amar le, he said, lo yilecha piran el mizo. He said the word. This is where the collection will come from. V'nimsa asad el ha'isa shalo. But it ended up that he was selling the Brooklyn Bridge. It wasn't his field. He said, this is where the collection from, and that's the only field. So does the same halacha apply there? Do we consider that like the field got washed out and you can't make any other collection? So the Ramah says Yeshamim to go with Mishana Chas. There Yeshamim that this halacha of Kodik doesn't apply. You can collect from other property. But the reason he lost was because there was another creditor who had that field as a specific apotiki. So then in a chazer lov, at that point he can't be chazer, because that the parshim explained that he could have just paid off the first creditor. It wasn't so sure that the second creditor wasn't going to get it. In the case where he's giving him something that's not his, so the whole thing's a tos in the beginning, the whole thing's a mekach tos, and he did borrow the money for himself. He had set aside his field, which was crooked, and therefore he has to pay back the loan from his own money. So Dainwai says in another shiva, the same thing will be, that if you have someone running a corporation, as we saw in the beginning, and he's acting crooked with it, he said, you know, lend me the money, and I have all this property here, this is where you're going to collect from, and you know that it's not worth a penny. You know that they're all defective and they're not worth anything, or you know that the value is much less than the loan. He has a shaila if it's real estate, and maybe the real estate will go up, maybe it doesn't apply by real estate because that goes up sometimes. But if you know that the property is not worth enough to pay back the loan, so he says that's the Ramah's case, you tricked him and you'll be personally responsible. He says though it could be only where you had in mind to cheat him, then you're called a lover Russia, you had in mind to trick him, that's when it will apply. The same thing he says with two, if there's another lover there also. He says if you had in mind that you weren't going to pay the lover, you were just going to have the first, that you weren't going to pay them off, but that you had the first credit and you were going to know what it's going to collect from this field, from this property, and then you use that as a security, as an apotheke for the second one, so he says maybe there also you would not, you will be personally responsible. So that, those are just details, but the principle is that this limited liability that we're talking about is only when you're on the up and up, when you're telling the truth. If you're being crooked about it, when there's nothing, there's no property there, it's not worth enough for it. So in that case, once again, we're not creating some whole legal fiction here. We're just saying that I am responsible to pay the loan, but I'm limiting my liability to this property. If I lie, so I go back to my responsibility to pay the loan, like we said in the beginning. If I had no personal responsibility, it could be the whole, there would be no liability at all, like we said, according to the Rishonim. If there's no personal liability, there's no personal lien, there's no lien on my property. So we say there is personal responsibility. You have to be sure that you're doing everything straight. You're not lying, you're not cheating. You're doing everything straight. So then you have the right to say, I'm borrowing the money for my own needs even, but I'm limiting the liability to this apotiki. In that case, it will work according to the Shari Mishpat. As long as you don't say, well, you collect from everything and this I'm setting aside, anything other than that will be called apotiki of Purush. The assumption is that you're collecting from the business and the liability is limited to the business. According to the Aruch Shai, you have to say the words, I'm limiting the liability only to this and you can't collect from anywhere else. In the case of a corporation, we said the assumption was from Diane Weiss that all corporations, when you're lending on when you're borrowing on behalf of the corporation, the assumption of the lender is that he knows that his payment is going to be only from the corporation. If something goes wrong with the corporation, you, the personal borrower, are not responsible with your personal property unless you did something illegal, you did something to cheat him, then the liability goes, or you did something, you mismanaged it, they can prove that you willingly, knowingly mismanaged it, there was a way you could have prevented it and you didn't. So in that case, you do retain personal liability because you are responsible. Just when things go right, that's when we say the liability is limited to that property, meaning when things go right, when you did what was right, even if the business goes bankrupt, the liability will be limited to whatever they can get from the business, and I don't think there'll be any chiyuv, even if later on you make a lot of money in another business, unless you want to be nice, but I don't see that you have any liability to pay from your own personal property.